If you don't mind, I'm going to stay down at the front, because whenever we have a meeting like this, it's a little bit different, because this is parents' night and this is an opportunity when the children gather in. And I just like to be just near. You know, if you misbehave, I can go over to you and say, shh, behave, sit up. I can't do that so well when I'm back there. But I know that you're going to behave very well tonight. And we're coming to the most important part of this meeting. Why do you think it's the most important part? I'm going to trust you for an answer.
Jesus died.
Yes, very, very important. It's the most important part because we're coming to God's Word. All right? Well, the important part was not just the singing, and that's very important, and the children taking part. And you know, at the end, and we're going to finish a little bit earlier tonight, there's something underneath that blanket there for the children. All right? So that's something for you to take home. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the Word of God. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind. Now, if you could see behind that screen, you would see some words that are actually on the screen. All right, do you know what the text is in this church as you look at it every single Lord's Day? Look. Behold the Lamb of God. And so here's our text. We read it at the beginning of the service. It's a memory verse. You might know it already, having come to Sunday school or the children's meetings. And here we have the words in John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I want to speak about that in a few minutes' time. But let me tell you this first of all. In the Bible, and we're going to confine our remarks to John's Gospel. This is the Gospel that we've read from tonight. We see Jesus Christ under different pictures. All right? The Bible's a wonderful thing because it shows us these pictures of Christ. And when we think of the picture, we're being taught a lesson. All right? You have that in school, and you have it in other times when you come together and you're being taught. Pictures are shown. We're going to see some of these pictures tonight by way of introduction. And these are pictures of Christ. Jesus Christ is likened unto living waters. All right, so you're going to see some of these things tonight just behind me. You can look up and you can see them. John chapter 4. There's a very famous story in John chapter 4 of a woman who comes to a well. Now, nowadays you don't have wells unless you visit your grandparents and they still have a well on their property. You know what a well is? You do know what a well is. Well, that's very helpful. Way back in Bible times, they didn't have the same kind of taps and plumbing systems that we have today. They got their water from a well. And in John 4, we learn of Jesus Christ. He's in his journey. He is tired physically, and he's weary with the journey, and it is midday. Do you know what happens at midday? Do you know when the sun is at midday? It's at its highest, okay? And so it's really warm. It's not Northern Ireland. It is Israel, and it's really, really warm. And Jesus sits on the well. And you may know the story of the woman who came. She came with her vessel to draw water from the well. And Jesus begins to talk to her, begins to tell her something about herself and about her sin. So important that people are brought to see their sin. And this is what the Lord was doing in the conversation that he had with this woman from Samaria. And then he tells her about water, not the kind of water in the well, and he had asked the woman for a drink, but he uses the well as an illustration of something that was more important than physical water. She had come that day to get water from the well. But he talks about water inside. That's going to be like a well of water inside you. And Jesus is the living water. And really, it's just a picture to tell you that this is what we have in salvation when we come to know our sins forgiven, when we come to receive Christ as our Savior. He gives us satisfaction. He gives us refreshment. He gives us of all his graces. There's another occasion later on in John when he said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. Let him come to me and drink. And so the Lord is able to give this living water inside. It's a picture of salvation. In John chapter 6, he says that he is the bread of life. Some of you maybe had bread today at some stage, maybe at breakfast or sometime through the day, or you will in the incoming week. And bread is used to nourish the body, to feed your body. You need physical food if you're going to live, if you're going to survive. And Jesus, again, is teaching something here. He is the bread of life. And he is able to feed not your body, but your soul. And again, it's a picture of the gospel and what we have. When we come to receive him, we are receiving the bread of life that is able to satisfy our soul. Then in John chapter 8, he speaks there about being the light of the world. All right? Everybody knows what light is, and we have lots of light these days now as we're come into the springtime and coming up to the summer. There's lots of light in this building, but if there wasn't any light, if there was no sun, no moon, and no lights to switch on, we would be in darkness. All right? Darkness. We've all seen darkness. Yeah, we actually see darkness, and it's just black all around. And Jesus really is teaching us the lesson that the way we are without him in our sin, we are in spiritual darkness. We cannot see. We don't see ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. We don't really understand and see our need of God's salvation. We certainly don't see the future, where we're going to a lost eternity. So we are in spiritual darkness. But he says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. And he shines the light of his truth into your heart to make you understand your need of God's salvation. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. And he's pictured there as the door of the sheep. And you'll see a sheepfold. I trust tonight, not too sure whether we put the two center lights off, if it's maybe a wee bit easier for them to see these things tonight. And you see the sheep gathered in, and the Lord Jesus Christ in that chapter, he's not only the shepherd, but he's the door. And he's reminding you and I, boys and girls tonight, he's reminding us that he is the door to heaven. There's no other door to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only door. And so this is a picture. This is a picture tonight. And that's what the Lord was speaking about as he talked to the crowds in his day. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if we run on into John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, the true vine. And the picture there is the Lord Jesus Christ being the main stem, the vine, and his people who come to know him, they are the branches. Now, do you understand what I'm saying tonight? These are pictures. These are lessons that the Lord wants to teach us. And all these things are things that Jesus said about himself. But the little verse of scripture that we're looking at tonight is something that someone else said about Jesus. His name was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he calls him the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Everyone has seen a lamb. You've seen them. In fact, this is lambing season, and there's lots of lambs being born. And if you are driving out in the countryside and you come to a farm where there are sheep, you are going to see all these little lambs. Jesus is described by John the Baptist as a lamb. Now, he was speaking to Jewish people, people that lived in the land of Israel. And they would immediately understand something of what the Lord meant. Because again, in the Old Testament, the Bible spoke about Jesus Christ and gave wonderful pictures in the Old Testament about him, even though he hadn't come into the world. You go back right to the beginning of time. And you go back to the beginning of time, and God made man, the Bible says. He made man in his own image. Who did he create? Who was the first man? Adam. Who was the first woman? Eve. And he took Adam and Eve and he put them into the Garden of Eden. And he gave them commandments. And he gave them one particular commandment that the Bible tells us about, to do with the tree that was right in the center of that garden. You're not to eat of it. And you will know about the temptation and how the devil came and tempted our first parents to disobey the Lord. And so they did. They took that which God had forbidden. And now they have disobeyed the Lord. They have broken his word, broken his law. And what we call the fall has taken place. Man has fallen spiritually, fallen from that holiness that he once had. And now he's a sinner in the sight of God. And he realizes his shame and his nakedness, and he tries to cover himself with fig leaves. All right, so they sew these garments together, these clothes, and they cover themselves with fig leaves. But that was just their own effort. God took something else. And children, it necessitated death, the shedding of blood, in order to provide Adam and Eve with these garments. These are coats of skin. And so the Jews would remember way back at the beginning of time that God did this as a picture. Who were the first two children that Adam and Eve had? Rebecca. Cain and Abel. So the Jews would also remember, as they listened to John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," they would remember the story of Cain and Abel and how that they were brought up in that home and taught by their parents, here is the way to find acceptance with God. There's only one way. You must bring the lamb. You must shed the blood of that lamb. It's a picture of what is going to happen away down through the centuries when the Savior would come. And you all know what happened. One of the sons brought the wrong thing and offered it in the wrong way. But Abel, he brought his sacrifice. He took the lamb. He put it on the altar. And the lamb died, the blood was shed, so that Abel would find acceptance with God. It's a picture, children, of what Jesus was going to do. We mentioned it last night, and we were actually talking about it at the Lord's table this morning. There's another story in the life of Abraham. Abraham was a builder of altars, okay? The Bible tells us that he built these altars. We are not specifically told at the beginning that he offered lambs, but we believe he did. So on his altar, he would have offered the lamb. But later on in chapter 22 of Genesis, you know the story of Abraham and Isaac? Yes. And how that Isaac's life was spared, and the ram was there, that sheep, and he took the sheep, put it on the altar. It was all a picture of the Lamb of God that was going to come into the world. So I'm saying to you tonight, all these things were familiar to the Jews. Now, in the book of Exodus, do you know what the book of Exodus tells us about? It tells us about the exodus of the children of Israel. The word Exodus is just telling you that they went out of the land of Egypt, and the 10 plagues came. The 10th plague was a plague of death. People were going to die. But the Israelites were told, if you take a lamb and you kill the lamb, shed the blood of the lamb, you take the blood and you put it on the lintel, that's the top part of the door, and on the side parts, when the death angel comes through the land of Egypt, if you have taken the lamb and your home is sheltered beneath the protection of the lamb's blood, your home will be safe. It's a picture. The Passover lamb of what Jesus was going to do. So these Jewish people understood these things. Here's John the Baptist. He's standing by the River Jordan. A great crowd of people have gathered. You can just picture the scene. And he's telling them about the Savior. He's telling them about the Messiah, the promised one of God. He's telling them about Christ, about Jesus. And as he is doing this, he sees the Lord coming there in the distance. And when he sees Christ, he announces to the congregation, to this great crowd of people, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The word "behold" very simply means look. If I say to you, "Behold Philip," I mean, you look at Philip, or if I say, behold, Mary, then look at Mary, but they don't want you to look at them tonight. No, we would want you to look at the Lamb. And we'll come to that word just in a little moment or two. But as we think of the message tonight, I want you to behold Christ. I want you to see him before we close this meeting. Three simple things I want to say. First of all, there is the need of the Lamb. There has to be a Lamb. And it's all to do with sin. Do you know what sin is? Yeah. What is sin? Bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Sin is breaking God's law. God has given his law. And we need a Lamb that is going to take away our sin. This is what the text is telling us about. The text tells us about sin. This Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, he takes away sin. And so we need such a Lamb. It is absolutely necessary. And all these sacrifices in Israel in the Old Testament, they were sacrifices where the animal was taken and the blood was shed. And it is this picture of the Lord Jesus, what he was going to do when he came into the world. And we need this Lamb. We need Jesus Christ because of our sin. All have sinned. Yeah. You know the verse? What does the next part tell us? And come short of the glory of God. Mentioned this last night. Here is God's glory. Here is God's standard. His perfect holiness. And of course, it's summarized in the Ten Commandments, that perfect standard of God. Here is the standard of God. The Bible says all have sinned and they've come short of this glory, of this standard. You know what it means to come short of it? It means you don't reach it. You don't reach it. If you think tonight there's a big road outside the church and you traveled on it coming here tonight, and if I was to say to you, Sophia, I want you to stand on the footpath and I want you to jump across to the other side of the road. Just one jump, that's all you're allowed. Would you get to the other side of the road? No. You would come short, you see. But then I would say, Philip, you know, he's tall and we say lanky, all right? And I would say, he's very athletic too. Doesn't he look very athletic? And if I said, Philip, I want you to stand on the footpath, one jump, want you to get to the other side. Philip, could you do it? No. It's impossible. I don't care who you are tonight. And if you think you can do it, I'd love to see it after the meeting. We'll go out there. But I think it's true to say, with the road that wide, that anybody who tries to jump across with one jump, they're going to come short. Now, it might be a very weak and feeble illustration, but here's the perfect standard of God, and we come so short of God's perfect standard. That's why we need a Lamb to take away our sin and to bridge that great gap, that gulf that is between us and Almighty God. And only Christ can forgive us our sin. The church can't take your sin away. It's lovely to see you tonight in God's house. It really is that you've come here. And it's lovely to see you on a Tuesday night. But you know, coming to church can't take away your sin. Being baptized, reading your Bible, praying, these things so good in themselves, they can't take away our sin. We need the Lamb. And that's the first thing I want you to understand. Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. All right, we need a Lamb. The second point that I want to make is there is the work of the Lamb. And it is in those words of John the Baptist. It says, he taketh away the sin of the world. And that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come just to be an example. And he was an example. It's good to be an example of how we ought to live in this world. And the perfect example is Christ. And the Bible says that we should follow in his footsteps and we should take his example. And he didn't come just to be good to people, and he was. And we think of all those things that he did when he healed the sick. Those people that were so sick and dying, and Jesus healed them. And he even raised to life again those who were dead. That's not what he came to do, or just came to do. No, the Lord Jesus, in the great work that he came to do, is in the words of John the Baptist, he came to take away sin. And the Bible makes it clear how he did it as the Lamb of God, by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus had to die. He had to go to the cross. We read about it in the Bible. Yes, he lived a perfect life. He gave us that example. He obeyed the law of God that you and I have broken. But he went to the cross of Calvary. At the end of his ministry, remember the people cried out, "Let him be crucified. Away with him. Away with him. Let him be crucified." And they took Jesus Christ outside the city of Jerusalem. And they nailed him to the cross. And you can just picture that in your mind. These soldiers taking the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And they lay him on that wood. And they nail those spikes into his hands and into his feet. And they lift him up to die. And there he is. He's crucified. And there's two other men on either side. They were thieves. They were robbers. And they deserved to die. But not Jesus. He had never done anything wrong. Never. He was the perfect Son of God and lived a life absolutely perfect in this world. But what's happening now? What's happening there upon the cross? He's crucified. He's suffering. I'll tell you, our sin is being laid upon him. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Our sin, the punishment of it, was being transferred over to Jesus Christ. And he became, I think we mentioned this word last night, the substitute. He took our place. He bore the penalty. Took all the wrath of God against sin. He stood in our place. And that is so important, because as you behold the Lamb of God, I want you to know, he takes away sin. That's his work. His great work of redemption. Jesus Christ is the scapegoat. You know, there's a lovely story, and you can read it for yourself. Go home and read Leviticus chapter 16. It's the Day of Atonement. All right, it's a very special day. It happened once a year in Israel. And part of that day, there was the offering of a bullock, but there was also two goats that were taken. All right? And the high priest would cast lots. One of these goats had to die. And that spoke of the work of the Savior in his death. One of these goats had to die. The blood was shed, and the blood was taken into the tabernacle, into the most holy place. But also the other goat, when the high priest had done that, the high priest would come and put his hands on the head of the goat. Now this is a picture. Talked about pictures tonight. And he would confess the sins of Israel. And so symbolically, the sins of Israel were laid upon that goat, and a strong man, it would take a strong man to do this, took the goat into the wilderness, and that goat was taken away. And there's the work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, seen in the first goat in the shedding of his blood, but seen in the second goat, the removal of sin. And that is the work of the Lamb. So when you understand, children, your need of a Lamb because of our sin, and you understand the work of the Lamb, he came to take away our sin, what do you need to do? You need to do what our text tells us to do. You need to behold the Lamb. So there is the looking to the Lamb. And that look is a look of faith. It is a look that says in your heart, I believe who Jesus is. I believe he's God's Son. I believe what Jesus did. That's what this word behold means. I believe that he died upon the cross, and he died for my sin, that he died there to remove my sin, to take my sin away. That is what it is to behold the Lamb of God. And we need to know how to make this Savior our Savior. And that's how we do it. We look to him in faith. And we receive him into our lives by faith. And we simply bow before him and we say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your law. I have come short. Here's the perfect standard, but Lord, I've come short. And I know I'm a sinner. And I know what I deserve. But I'm so glad that Jesus died for me upon the cross of Calvary. And when he died as God's Lamb, he took away my sin. And Lord, I now come to receive that and receive you into my life and into my heart to be my Savior. That's what we pray for you, children. That's why you come to the children's meetings and to the Sunday school, to learn about God, to learn about Christ, to learn about the Lamb of God. And it is the prayer of all our workers that you will behold Christ, that you'll look to him, and your moms and your dads and your family too. He's a great Savior. I trust tonight that God will speak. You'll take the word home with you in your heart. It's a memory verse. Someone was able to quote it. Take it home and obey it. Look to Christ. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks tonight for Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. We thank thee tonight for this picture, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away sin. And Lord, we praise thee for the work that he came to do, that great work when he died for us and sacrificed himself for our sin. And our sin was laid upon him, and he removed our sin, took it away. But Lord, we know we need to believe it, we need to receive it, we need to look to him. Give our children the grace that they need, and their family members too, to look away to Christ on the cross, crucified for their sin, and to know their sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.